to the bills that were introduced this morning. I would like to introduce House Bill 5072, 5073, 50.
Mr. Chair, I think we did those. Those were LC 9001, 9002, 9003, 9004. We did those this morning.
Well, just for the record, let's make sure that everyone knows House Bill 5072, 5073, 5074, and 5075, in our spirit of redundancy, in this building, are introduced. I am assuming since we introduced them this morning, we do not need a motion. The committee is in work session. I would like to bring forward the committee House Bill 4011, the State School Fund. Turn it over to staff.
Okay, go ahead.
What's on an agenda?
I don't have an agenda.
You are in. Mr. Chair and members, House Bill 4011 modifies the state school fund payment schedule beginning in the 03-05 biennium. It pays 8 1/3 per month by adding payments in July, September, and June, and decreases the share paid in August and the following May. It also deletes an exception to an old payment schedule for districts, or to the old payment schedule for districts operating schools throughout the year. And it has an emergency clause and takes effect on passage.
Thank you. Any discussion on House Bill 4011?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Schrader.
So the effect of this bill is to smooth out the payment schedule as we discussed yesterday.
That is correct.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shutterly.
Point out this does differ from the LC that we looked at yesterday. The LC yesterday had 4 1/3% distributed in July and 12 1/3% distributed in August. And frankly, there were a number of people that asked why we do that, and there was not a very good answer to that. So this bill reflects a straight 8 1/3% for every one of the 12 months of the year. If we're going to smooth it, we may as well make it smooth.
Appreciate that difference. Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Of course.
I assume that the School Board Association and school administrators are okay with that change?
You know, I've had input. I would get mixed reviews, but I have gotten more favorable comments than opposition comments. I would also indicate that the state treasurer has voiced his support of the leveling of the school payments.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair?
Representative Shetterly.
Also, we had a technical workup on this bill in the LC library with the Department of Education representatives who spoke very well of this bill, just in terms of a piece of administration.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Warner, would you like to come forward and add any comments you'd like to put into the record with regard to 4011?
Mr. Chair, Paul Warner, Legislative Revenue Office. Just to confirm, Representative Shirley had said that you had talked about a 4 1/12 as a transition. This goes straight to 8 1/3. So this would mean that whatever is appropriated by the 03 legislature, 8 1/3% of that appropriation for 03-04 would arrive to the districts on July 15th and instead of the 16 2/3 on August 15th. As in current law.
Which, in effect, moves a payment 1 month further or closer, 1 month sooner.
It moves it 1 month sooner, moves an 8 1/3 payment, which would be about $225 million, assuming that appropriation grows. It also would provide the districts with 25% of their appropriation in the first 3 months of the fiscal year versus the 16 2/3 they get now in the first 3 months.
Any questions for Mr. Warner? Thank you, Paul.
You ready for a motion?
Any further discussion? Motion would be appropriate.
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 4011 to the floor with a new pass recommendation.
Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 4011 is moved to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. Next on the agenda, since Sue is here, carrier. Carrier is, this is so well scripted.
Yes.
I actually have your name down.
Yes, thank you.
You get the burden.
Thank you.
Since Sue McGlash is here, let's move to the next bill. We are in work session on House Bill 4015, the School Improvement Fund. Ms. Sue? Take your time. We're going to be going fast and slow all day.
Okay, Mr. Chair and members, House Bill 4015 would allow school districts and programs that receive the School Improvement Fund grants during the 2001-03 biennium to use those monies for any purpose related to education. So essentially the $108 million that has been received through that grant program in the school year 2001-02 would not have to be spent for those purposes listed in law. And Section 2 of this bill would repeal the School Improvement Fund program for the second year.
Thank you. Any comments?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Morgan.
So just to clarify for my own personal databanks here, what this means then is that the $108 million that was distributed to the schools in the November of this year grants, or November of last year grant cycle, the schools have already received this money, and what this bill will do will take away the legislative mandate in how they'll use the money, so they'll still have the money, but they'll be free to do whatever they want to do with it.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Clarification then, this actually repeals, it doesn't suspend, it repeals the school improvement program so that it would take legislative action in 2003 to reinstate it, is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Representative Shetterly, that's correct. If you look at Section 2, it says repealed on July 1st, 2002.
Let's just make a note.
And at the same time, I mean, there is nothing that is prohibitive in here that prevents the schools from continuing those programs if they should so desire at their choice, their election.
So, Mr. Chair, if I might just have one more clarification question. So the $108 million, which essentially, if this bill goes into effect, they'll have 6 months of the rest of the grant cycle with no mandate on the money. Would it be then reasonable to expect that, having no mandate on this money, that this would help them transition through the 2% cut that will happen to them when they the second year of the school improvement grants are reduced or are taken away?
It would be my understanding. I don't think you can just all of a sudden shut these programs down.
Right.
There has to be a phase out of these programs, of course, at the school's election. But I think there would be additional discretionary funds available from the first payment of $108 million from the school improvement fund. I think that's an accurate assessment.
And then if I might, Mr. Chair, we also, putting the bill on the table that accelerates the first payment that they receive in the next biennium, that could possibly also be looked at as mitigating the loss of the second year of that grant money in having the additional money available earlier to the district.
I think that's accurate. I mean, not to put it in my financial category, but if I need $5 and I've got to wait a month for it and I need it today, that helps. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In spite of all the rhetoric in terms of how much this is helping, still we're talking about basically, is this a $112 million cut for the second year?
Yes.
Okay.
That is not contained in this bill.
Right.
This is simply the bill that releases, should the $112 million reduction occur, which is part of the proposal, should that occur, this allows the mandates not to be carried forward. It actually takes them off. The school district can do whatever they want.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
The disappropriation, I assume, is in one of these other bills.
House Bill 5070.
Just a point. I think there is nothing in this that makes it contingent on passage of that. To point out, I guess, that this is going to act on its own. This is independently operative, irrespective of whatever happens to the disappropriations bill.
That's correct. Okay. So if the $112 million were not to be disappropriated, this would
still, it would still be relieved of the program.
Right, for a repeal of the program, and they could spend the $112 million however they wish to, as long as it was for educational purposes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that clarification. That was my understanding. Any further discussion? Ready for a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill, what are we working on, 4012?
4015.
I would move House Bill 4015 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan has moved House Bill 4015 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Any objections?
Object.
I'll let the record show Representative Hansen objects. Any other objections? Seeing none, House Bill 4015 is moved to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Sue.
Carrier on 4015 is Susan Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You win the lottery. Is Sue here? Let's do 4013. Now, work session on House Bill 4013, Sunday sales.
Wow, I can pass. Miss and miss.
You're amazing.
Catching up.
Quick work. Probably working
overtime. Woo! We're actually getting fiscals.
We're getting an SMS.
Look out.
Preliminary.
Don't spoil the moment.
Susie, House Bill 4013.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The House Bill 4013 deletes the requirement for OLCC to close their liquor stores on Sundays, allows them to sell liquor on those days and other days designated by OLCC. It also changes the distribution formula for non-tax proceeds in excess of $185.2 million. And what it does is the first $3 million after $185 million is dedicated to the general fund, and then it goes back to its normal distribution.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Just to reflect for the record, I think there was a question as to whether this somehow mandated liquor stores to be open on Sundays, and I think the understanding that clearly it does not. It removes the prohibition against them being open on Sundays, but does not require liquor stores to be open on Sundays.
That is my very clear understanding of the intent, and I want to make sure that everyone in the room, as well as the record, reflects that this is permissive language, it is not mandatory language, and that is up to the individual liquor store operator's discretion. You know, I see Paul Cosgrove out there. If, Paul, could you come up and in your capacity introduce yourself and put into the record your understanding of the intent of this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul Cosgrove representing the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States, and we agree that that is exactly the interpretation and the meaning and intent of the language, that it is permissive to allow stores to stay open on Sundays. We know some want to. We expect some do not. This would allow both of those decisions to be affected under the legislation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's interesting, when this idea first surfaced some months ago, we got a letter to the editor right after the idea, and it was from a visitor from Washington. Now, I don't know if Washington, I think they call them green fronts up there, their liquor stores are open on Sunday, but boy, was this individual just scalding Central Oregon for not having any liquor stores open on Sunday. I know a back-of-the-envelope survey was done of every liquor store in the state, and about half of them would exercise this ability. And interestingly enough, of the four in Bend, two would and two wouldn't, and that's their choice, whatever they want to do. Any further staff comments?
No, Mr. Chair.
Any comments? Any discussion?
So my understanding of the distribution formula would be that anything above the $3 million gets split between general fund and then almost half goes to cities and counties. Is that correct?
That's correct.
In the standard distribution formula, I'm assuming.
That's correct.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair, if I might, I would move House Bill 4013 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, we do this whole dang bill for Lane Shetterly, and he's not even here. I can't even believe it. Mm-hmm. Any discussion on moving House Bill 4013 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 4015 is moved to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation.
I'll carry that.
Who do we
have? Can I miss a vote?
Would you like consideration to...
I request unanimous consent to cast a vote on House Bill
4013. Any objection? Seeing none?
Aye.
Federally, how do you vote?
I vote aye. Thank you.
Well, except for the other four no's,
yeah.
You were fine.
You know? Mr. Chair, I've done that in my committees, too. It always gets the same kind of reaction.
We have the official carrier. You wouldn't believe the paper we're packing around. Half of it is... where's liquor? Hi. Want to be a carrier?
Oh, joy.
You know, pay your money, you take your chances. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The, okay.
Be the least, the least one to have to carry here today, so that might not be a bad deal.
Yeah. We're going to hold off on 4017, the dental issue. There could be some adjustments on that. And I think we're looking at 5071, lottery adjustment. Who are we looking for in staff?
Robin.
Well, if you won't sing, how about humming a couple bars?
Feeling kind of flat.
I will say Robin has never looked worse, but other than that. How you doing? Okay, we are now in work session on House Bill 5071. Lottery funds allocation. Let me give staff time to get situated and adjusted.
Thank you.
At your leisure.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the first thing that I would like to point out is that the bill that was introduced is the wrong version. So we need to be working off from the 50-2 amendments that I just handed out. And would recommend that the committee move that these amendments be adopted as the amendments to 5071.
Representative Shetterly? You want to spend a little time with
it? No. I'm just then this the motion would be to amend House Bill 51 with the LC 50-2 amendments, but these amendments don't, they don't delete
one.
Yeah, the, but these amendments don't, by their express terms, replace the bill. Do we need to make that a conceptual part of the motion?
Yes, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Mr. Chair, I would move, including the conceptual amendment, the adoption of the dash two amendments in replacement for House Bill 5071. So the motion is to move these amendments into the bill and with these amendments replace the bill as printed. That's the intent of the motion. I think part of that is conceptual since the dash two amendments don't do that expressly.
Correct.
I appreciate that observation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection?
If I might, the difference here is just in putting the numbers, the right numbers in?
Yes, Representative Morgan. The numbers that were in the printed bill were an earlier version, and the earlier version did not get updated with the corrected numbers.
Good comment. Any discussion of the motion?
Just so this is still the original group of five proposal with just the updated numbers, and there's been no change in the programs entered.
Yes, Representative Schrader, that is correct.
Well, something we did is still vesting.
One thing, anyway.
Yeah. any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none. House Bill 5071 is so amended.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Move House Bill 5071 as amended, including the conceptual amendment to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Any discussion? I love this committee. Any objections?
Yes.
Let the record show Representative Hansen objects to 5071 as amended. Any other objections? Seeing no other objections, House Bill 5071 as amended and amended conceptually is moved to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. The
you guys are so
Sue Morgan, thank you for volunteering. We are going to stand in recess until the next announcement from the floor, so that's the best way to find out when we're going to be coming back down here. I wish I could tell you specifically what bills we are going to be doing, but again, as the paper flow catches up, we had one bill that actually had a fiscal here with us today. So again, as I indicated earlier, the logistics of this whole thing are just incredible, and if we've been burning the midnight oil, LFO and Legislative Council have absolutely allowed this to take place as much as possible. So thank you, Robin. Thank all of you for being here. Very sincerely, we're in recess.